I think what, you know, can be keep people from being in that hard, and probably myself for sure, is the mind. And so how can we think about unconditioning the mind, and really what sort of thoughts in the mind are we exploring further? So say in the example of authority, is this like, you know, this is a thought that I'd actually like to explore further because it brings me closer to my heart. And then what sort of thoughts are kind of like, hey, we don't really need to go into that one because that's not going to lead us to a greater place of love. What's your process for unconditioning the mind and really determining what sort of stories deserve greater attention?
I think you focus on what it is that you want to grow. I really think you focus on the light, you focus on the beauty, you focus on the love, and then the crunchy, dense, heavy stuff, it naturally starts to dissolve. And this is the shadow side of our quote unquote industry, right? Mm-hmm. Is like so many steps and so much fixing and so much repairing and so much excavating and the fucking stories all the time. Mm-hmm. We're not keeping it pointed to like where we want it to go. Now, someone listening might go, that's a spiritual bypass. That is not a spiritual bypass. I see it all. I see the pain. I see the agony. I see the family of origin stuff. And from there, I make a conscious choice about what I'm going to focus on. I'm not denying it at all. I see its impacts. It's made me neurotic. It's made me whatever. I'm going to choose this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one thing, I've got this kind of methodology that's emerging because, you know, I love methodologies.
Mm-hmm. You're like, so I hate the steps. The steps are all bad, but I got a methodology. Yeah,
totally. Have I got seven steps for you?
Yeah, get ready.
I like processes. Mm-hmm. It's emerging. It's all around choosing loving thoughts. And I have to be able to do this in a non-spiritual bypassy way. So the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali teaches, and this was so validating for me. I was like, boom, knew it. Yeah. Is you think a negative thought, you should rush in, I'm paraphrasing, with a positive thought immediately. And I got to kind of test that theory. How is that not the spiritual bypass? This is the warriorship. It's like, there's the agony. I see it. I felt it. I didn't deny it. I'm going to choose love. I'm going to go for the walk. I'm going to choose the gentle thing today. It's always about being the antidote. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I call it the high and by, because it's like, say hello to the feeling, but you don't need to, you can like, hi, but you don't need to be wallowing in it and self-identifying with it. And I think we've seen in our space that happened quite a bit where it's really powerful that people are now able to identify their feelings, their expressions, their traumas, their shadow. But it does feel like people are getting caught in the experience of over-identification of it because the ego's like, fuck yes, I'm now hiding in the shadow work. I'm now hiding in these places. So yes, how do we get people to move out of these sort of identifications with the traumas, the stories, the shadow, and bring them not out and up, but bring them over to love?
Forgive your parents.
And do you do that with, okay, let's double click on that. So is that a conversation or is that done internally? Is that done with a ceremony, a ritual? Like, what does that actually look like?
You don't even need to talk to them about it. Here's the meta behind this is that we have a family and they screw us up because nobody's perfect. We're born into these imperfect people situations. We really think they're going to get it right. We're not like, nobody's getting this right. And then the blaming happens with the family of origin stuff and the stuff I didn't get from my mother, father, sister, brother, whoever, however you grew up. Forgive your community if it's about somebody in your community wounding you. Nobody matches up to the fantasy we have of perfect love. Then we get resentful. And then the resentment turns into some shame. And then that shame just turns into all these bad habits of keeping us unhappy, unhealthy, unfulfilled. And then we realize, you know, we've all done lots of therapy or going to do lots of therapy. And we realize everybody was doing the best they could. And then we start to toy with the idea of forgiveness. But there's something I think, much more meaningful and sweeping before all of that, which is, we can say, and this is psychologically sound. Let's say you had a father who abandoned you. Psych 101 is going to tell you that you're going to probably marry someone who in some way or another abandons you. They're going to be out of a town a lot, or they're going to be numbing out. Like, they're not there for you. We know that. It's statistically true that women who are beaten as children marry men who are physically abusive. All the data is there. So you could say, when I'm older, I have this abandonment theme because of my original upbringing. And that is, I think, very accurate. But I think it's only half of the story. I think your soul comes in with a theme of abandonment. And therefore, you choose those parents. So let's just freeze for a second on choosing an abusive husband, let's say. Let's make this less traumatic and sensitive. So let's mm-hmm. say, let's go with the abandonment issue. Mm-hmm. Had a father who abandoned you, marry someone who's not present, abandoning you in various ways. You go through your cathartic experience, you go through your revelatory experience, and you say, I am going to be here for myself. And that is the lesson of this relationship. He's forgiven. I'm never going to abandon myself again. I had to go through that marriage, whatever it was, relationship container to realize my abandonment issue is about me staying steady for me. Cool. Yes, sister, mister, that's it. But you came in with the abandonment issue. Your soul is like, let's clean up this business this lifetime. So it's not just about attracting that husband. So it can, that husband is going to poke at your wounds and stir all that stuff up and abandon you so you can say, I'm solid and not leaving myself. It's about you choose those parents or that community or whatever to say, we're going to poke at that wound so you can really get in there. And when you take that perspective and think, wow, I brought in this situation from day one to deal with a core essential theme in my being. Then you kind of take the heat off your parents a bit. It doesn't mean you're justifying anybody's bad behavior. Your father is still going to have his karma. It would be so blessed if your father was more awake and conscious and healed himself and was there for you so much more. He's never going to be there for you 100% because no one's perfect in this dimension. So there's the part we get to in therapy of like, okay, wow, it's so liberating. Like, everybody is just trying their best. I'm good. And we really mean it. Mm-hmm. There's a bigger, which is, I came in to clean this up. They gave me exactly what I needed so I can realize, like, I have never been abandoned by life. Something has been breathing me. Life has been loving me for lifetimes or since his first breath. Life has had my back. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. Your relationship to the infinite.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30.
We hope you enjoyed waking up.
As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.